Money 101 with Bob McCormick, featuring the Wall Street Journal, the news you need, and the information you can use. Now, here's Bob McCormick.
Okay, welcome to the program. We'll save you money here, but also we want you to be safe. I've noticed the portable heaters everywhere, and here in our building, you know, there are some rooms that are a lot colder than others. You may have the same situation where you work or in your home. We have Valley Home Inspections' John Wilhelm in the house. He's been inspecting Southern California real estate for 27 years. John?
Morning, Bob. How you doing?
What do I need to know about portable heaters, dude?
Well, yeah, as soon as it gets cold like this, you start seeing them all over the place at the, Home Depot and Lowe's, places like that. And there's a couple of very important safety features that you need to know about. If you have an older electric heater, the kind that's has a coil that heats up, those have a very hot surface, and those are more prone to fire damage. The newer heaters have a system or a sensor inside that, let's say if you have the heater next to a chair or a bed and you happen to drop a blanket on top, it has an overheating device. So that if it starts to overheat, it's going to shut off. Very important that you have that. If you happen to drop a blanket over one that doesn't have an overheating device, you're going to have a fire.
Now, it's not the brand name, it's the type of portable heaters. Are there some you should stay away from?
It's the safety feature, yes. The other main feature that you need to have, they also, most of them have what they call a tip-over shut-off. And that's where if you have the face of the heater, which does get pretty hot, if you tip that over and it faces down, it's just like it's going to melt the carpet and start a fire. They have a tip-over shut-off where as soon as you tip it off, the power just shuts off. So that's a very important feature.
Now, what is a characteristic? Because some heaters are just meant to heat up a small area, like maybe right where you're working at your desk. Others designed to heat up the whole room.
Right. Well, a radiant type heater, you see some of these with like a glowing coil inside, but not the type that has the real hot type. Those are designed to just heat surfaces. So you can put one like under a desk or, you know, towards you if you're near a desk, and that will just heat you or heat, you know, the surface area around you. It won't heat the air. So you don't use one of those if you're actually trying to heat a room. You want to use more of the like an oil-filled type of radiant heater, and that will heat the room very efficiently, except that they don't move the air around very much.
You got to have a fan for that.
Right. You're going to have a ceiling fan on. A lot of people don't think of putting a ceiling fan on when you have your heat on. You put your ceiling fan blowing upwards.
So it's reverse. You reverse the
direction.
Right.
What that does is it blows the heat off the ceiling, circulates it back to the floor, but you don't actually feel that breeze. You put it on a low speed blowing up, and it gets that heat back down to the floor, and the room temperature is much more even from top to bottom.
What about electric blankets? I mean, those are as common now as portable heaters. I mean, I've been turning mine on, and I
like electric blankets.
You want one that goes off automatically during the middle of the night, or
you can have them with timers, but it's just as cold first thing in the morning. So I kind of like it on the whole night. And obviously, if you have a electric blanket, you just don't need the heat on in the house.
Okay, let's talk about your tips for determining whether your bill is going to be high and how you can improve the heating. I know some rooms are colder than others. What is the cause of that? What's the reason for that?
Most of the time, it's improper duct sizing. You know, if you have two different rooms, it's very important that if one room is larger, the duct should be larger into that room, giving more volume.
So I got to put new heating ducts in to get better heat into the room that's
right. A lot of people think if you close the vent in one room, then you're going to get double the heat in another room. And you don't necessarily. You can only push a certain amount of heat or air volume through a certain size duct. Mm-hmm. And then when you close off a vent, what you're doing is you're creating cold spots in the house, and you're trying to fight those cold spots with the other part of the warm
areas.
How much
is it going to cost me to redo some duct work like that?
Well, you're not going to redo all of them. There's a good chance you've maybe got one or two rooms that just doesn't have the proper size duct. And you may just replace one or two. That's easy to do. A couple of duct sections might only cost you a couple hundred dollars and a little labor from the heating guy. The key is you want a licensed heating guy to determine the size of that duct, because there's a maximum size. If you go too large, it's like, you know, blowing into a room. You know, it's not going to move the air as far as volume. You need the air to push to the other side of the room.
And if it's too small.
And if it's too small, you're not going to get the volume through there.
Okay, so you're saying that we can get this job done if you got a room that's too cold for maybe several hundred dollars.
Maybe just a couple hundred dollars if you have easy access up into the attic. The other thing is you need to go up in the attic to make sure all your ductwork is intact. It's common if your ductwork is not properly supported in the attic, the duct tape connections will pull off of the connectors, and you're just blowing heat up into the attic. So at this time of year, you definitely want to get up in your attic, anywhere where your ductwork is, if it's under the house, and make sure that everything is connected and that you actually have heat coming out of each vent.
Okay. Now, what you can do to improve your heating system, to check possibly for improving the output of your furnace, what could I do there?
Well, one real simple is this is the time also that you want to check your filter. And if you find that your filter was not properly secured, it's a very common problem in heating systems where people put a filter in, but it's the wrong filter. So when you close the heater, the fan compartment, the fan just lifts up and the air goes around. So now the dust is going to get caught on your air conditioning coil, which it sticks like a little blanket, and you reduce your air volume, you know, sometimes by 50 or 60%. That's very important. So if you're not getting proper flow, you want to have that coil unit checked if you find that your filter has been, if your system has been used without a properly installed filter.
And how often should you change that, by the way, real quickly?
I get that question all the time. You know, they make these filters that are a real bright neon blue. And the reason they're blue is when you look up at the filter, if it's not blue anymore, you change it. So you don't have to think about it. The dust covers the blue and it becomes gray. That's when you change it. So there's no guessing.
So you look at the color.
Especially if you have a filter that's up at the ceiling level or somewhere where, you know, it's hard to get to.
All
you
right.
just can tell when it needs to be changed.